Hello everybody and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast. I am your host Radu Palamariu, Global Logistics and Supply Chain Practice Head for Morgan Phillips. My job is to connect you with global experts, thought leaders and executives in all things supply chain. I will do my best to pick their brains on supply chain and logistics leading edge technologies, leadership stories and personal success habits. This is episode 1 and it is my pleasure to have as guest Didier Schneveux. He's one of the leading supply chain executives in the region across Asia Pacific. Stay tuned as we cover latest technologies in supply chain, Internet of Things, blockchain, how to develop top supply chain leaders, and the importance of drinking red wine. Without further ado, here is episode 1. Hello everybody and welcome to the first edition of Global Leaders in Supply Chain podcast. I'm delighted to have here with me today Didier Schneveux, who is the Executive Director of Ernst & Young, based in Singapore, leading the practice for Asia Pacific, and providing advisory services focused on supply chains across the region. Didier is a long-term professional in supply chain and logistics. He has served as the CEO of Siva Logistics in Asia Pacific. Prior to that, he was also a member of the board and chief supply chain officer of LG, as well as prior to that, he had a very long-standing career with HP. Didier, welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks.
So we had a couple of questions from our audience and from our community. I'll start mostly on the industry side first. And the first question goes like this. How does doing business in Singapore and in Asia differ from the rest of the globe? What makes it unique?
Well, you know, it's a very contrasted region, so you kind of have to separate the more advanced market of Singapore, Korea, Japan, Taiwan from the emerging economies. It's hard to describe. I think you have to really live in the region for a number of years to really appreciate all the cultural difference, language difference, and business difference. It's a growing region, so lots of business opportunity, especially in the world of supply chain. I would say in the emerging countries, we have to focus on expansion. A lot of multinational, especially Western multinationals, for example, been in Indonesia for 20, 25 years, but basically they've been in Jakarta. And then they realize there's about 240 million people living outside of Jakarta, which they're not really serving, and they're quite far, and it's complicated logistics, and it's complicated supply chain. So you have to understand all these dynamics. Same thing applies for India, for Vietnam, for Thailand. So for logistic professional and supply chain professional, it's still a very, very interesting region. And I encourage your listeners that are maybe outside of Asia to come and have a professional experience here because it's quite unique.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you for sharing. And if you were to look at Ernst & Young and your clients, what's one of the key things that they're struggling right now when it comes to their supply chains in the region?
So one of it is what I just mentioned is expansion. The second part I would say is how to master all these new technology that are coming and that are really transforming a supply chain. So some companies have grown, very fast in the last 10 years, but their processes, their systems are not very solid. Very often we see what I call the land of 20,000 spreadsheets. So you run a, multi-billion dollar corporation on 200 Excel spreadsheet flying around, which are not really synchronized, which, result in, service level not being really good, inventory being too high. So a lot of companies have to, come to more system, process, integration, not working in silo, and really capturing the value of software, basically. Mm. So I see a lot of clients, asking us, how can we do better planning? How can we do integrated business planning end-to-end that, goes from the point of sale data all the way to, maybe placing orders on suppliers, and making sure that we have that one version of the truth that everybody's working on. Not different plans, not different objective, not different metrics, but one single end-to-end supply chain plan. So those are some of the challenges. Some people are doing now omni-channel strategy, meaning that they have traditional retail, but they're going online. Last mile is a big challenge in most of Asia. Many developing countries, you have a working class that may be below poverty, but still somehow has a cell phone and is ordering online. And how do you deliver to these places that do not necessarily have an address is a challenge. So there are very innovative solutions in that space as well, and we're helping clients do that. And at the other end, very very sophisticated new technology. I think we'll talk maybe a little bit later about blockchain technology, which is a really new ways of doing things, revolutionary in many respects. And companies are trying to understand how they can grasp this and improve their operation. Internet of Things, IoT is another area. Of course, everybody's talking about self-driving vehicles, self-driving cars or trucks. How will this impact the logistic industry? I think we're still quite a few years away from that. But self-driving vehicle or automated guided vehicle in the warehouse is something more current that clients are trying to understand and master. So very, very interesting and exciting landscape of things that have changed at a rate that I've not seen in my last 25 years. We saw a big boom in the late 90s, when everybody was trying to grasp the internet. And then I would say, 2005 to 15, a little bit slower, but now in the last 2 years, explosion of all new technologies and new ways of doing things that are quite exciting.
Yeah, and great sharing. And it is true that probably what we are witnessing and experiencing now, it's an exponential transformation almost. It's technologies, of course, as always, driving it. But probably, supply chains as we know it will not be the same in 5 years.
Absolutely.
And in your opinion, since we're talking about technology, so in your opinion, which technology trend in supply chain will likely make the most impact by year 2020?
So I think, people implementing existing software tools, I think there's a new upgrade cycle. So, the major player, SAP, Oracle, JDA, have come up with a new release of their software. They're using new, in the case of SAP, in-memory technology, which is quite powerful. And so people are starting to grasp the value of all of this. We still have lots of companies in the region that have not really invested in warehouse management system, WMS, or transportation management system, TMS. And I think those are very important to capture value. In terms of new technology, I think there's two things. For some clients, IoT and all the capture of data about how an engine is performing, how a factory line is performing, and doing all the predictive analytics around this, trying to predict failure, trying to predict when parts are going to be needed for replacement, is a very growing field and very interesting, where a lot of value can be captured. So, I would say really look carefully about all the sensors you can put on your trucks, on your manufacturing line, on your engines, if you're an airline, on your... if you're a boat or shipping company, try to capture that data, try to analyze it, and try to improve your operation. The second one I mentioned, which I think is really transformative, is blockchain technology. So it's going to be a huge impact on financial service market, and a lot of people are looking at this. I'm looking at it more from a supply chain point of view, and how we can use this as a transfer of value and transfer of title, proof of ownership. Lots of companies are working on this. EY, we're doing many proof of concept with several clients, looking how we can improve all this kind of back office paperwork, everything that was related to transfer of value and proof of ownership. So yeah, very very big demand in that space right now, with people trying to figure out, so it's a new technology, so people are trying to figure out what usage and use cases we can have. But this is really emerging as something just as big as, if back in 95 I would have said, this new thing called WWW and the internet, people were just like, okay, all right. we're probably a little bit at that stage right now with blockchain, but a lot of companies are, you know, identifying use cases and building proof of concept, and you know, we're helping doing that.
Yeah, and thank you. And it's very interesting because we did get two questions from our audience, and one was specifically about blockchain, and the other one was on IoT. So it's exactly what you mentioned, okay, the most transformative technologies. So if you were to, if we could to go just one level deeper, so blockchain, I think everybody talks about blockchain now. If you pop out on the LinkedIn or on the internet, there's an article about blockchain. But have you seen, and there's a lot of, as you said, proof of concepts, but have you seen also some, any, I mean, we have obviously the Bitcoin as well as another implication of blockchain, but in supply chains, have you seen anything that that is almost already implemented or close to being implemented? Because it also, to me, right, as maybe I'm not an expert, but it looks like it's something that will have, it will take time. It will take time, and it takes a lot of synchronized effort from a lot of different parties
not really. So we have clients right now that are looking, I mean, that they're not looking, they're implementing the technology to verify you know, access to their data, who can change the data. We have a project where it's actually somewhat of a treasury project, so who can authorize the bank information to be updated in the database. And this is actually written to the blockchain. So, you know, of course, it's this notion of consensus. Once it's going to be on the blockchain, it's not changeable, not hackable. So they're, you know, proof of concept at this time, but they are, you know, proven to work. And then once it's proven to work, companies will expand. So it's not slideware. It's actually, you know, people are coding things and are actually putting transaction using blockchain technology. And, you know, we have a number of programs running right now, including with some very large multinationals that are looking at how to onboard their suppliers, how to receive contract information, how to, you know, place orders, how to agree on the price of the transaction, and having a track and trace of all of this written to the blockchain. Yeah. And we use Ethereum, which is kind of the platform of choice right now because it enables smart contracts. So this whole notion also in the logistic industry, when, you know, something happens on the blockchain and there's a smart contract attached to it, the payment can be executed based on arrival of those product. And you know, I think Maersk and IBM have had a lot of coverage on that.
Correct. Yeah.
I think this is a very this is a very, very interesting work they're doing, and I think the logistic industry is going to wake up to all of this. And, you know, traditionally it's been a very paper intensive industry. You know, there's lots of documents traveling around the world because of international trade, you know, with any boat, ship. I think all this is going to be transformed.
It will be taken away almost.
Most of it will be taken away. Some of it will be converted to smart contract, which was, you know, auto execute based on milestone being reached. I think in the case of Maersk, they're looking also at you know, automatic self insurance when the car, when the container is being put on the ship and start leaving.
Yeah.
You know, automatic payment at arrival. So all this is enabled by smart contract.
Got it. No, very good examples. And how about the Internet of Things? So the question we got from Piyush Kansal, thank you Piyush, was, has the Internet of Things actually started changing the way supply chain operates, or is it still a buzzword?
It has changed. We've looked at a recent project with a major airline in the region, and you know, the amount of data that is captured about the health of the engine as, you know, prior to the flight, on flight, and post-flight is actually quite staggering. And it's being monitored, you know, real-time by the engine maker, but the airlines also are starting to, you know, to capture all that, analyze this, and it helps them in their, you know, parts strategy. So if you're able to analyze all these data, able to do the predictive analytics, you can predict, you know, failure, you can predict replacement before failure, and you can start optimizing your inventory of parts around the world based on, you know, flight condition, based on, you know, all kinds of data points that are being captured. So, you know, it's there again. It's not, you know, just ideas or slideware. It's actual application where more and more data is being captured and used to improve operation. I think Singapore is doing a lot of things in that respect, you know, doing more sensors everywhere in the city, air quality, traffic, electricity consumption, you name it. Mm. And, smart cities are going to be using all that IoT and already are. It's not, 30 years from now, it's not 20 years from now, it's today.
Yeah, and hopefully to make our life better and easier. And since you're from originally from France, I heard a story. I don't think it's a story, actually. It's a application of Internet of Things, but it's a maybe not the place where you would think to find it. It's in the wine industry. So basically, there are farmers of grapes. So basically, they have sensors, and based on the sunlight and the temperature, they activate the sprinklers to put water or not, depending on. So it's incredible.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Super. And another very good question from Agnes. She was asking, before investing hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in digital, in new tech, if we had to look at the fundamentals of a supply chain, what would that still be in today's time and age?
It's a good point. You don't want to sprint before you can run and before you can walk. So I just always tell my clients, crawl, walk, run, and then sprint. So there's some basic things that you need to have in your supply chain. First of all, you need to have people that have the skill and the understanding how these things work. So it's just not technology for the sake of technology. Second, you need to have some, operating model in place. Who does what, where, and when, and you have to be very clear on this. Then you need to have some basic system. There's no point trying to do sophisticated data analytics if you cannot place an order, or if your procurement is not in place, or your production planning is not optimized. So there are some maturity level that you have to go through. So here we have a couple of tools to tell clients, you're level one, level two, level three, level four, level five. And if you're level one, this is how you go to level two, this is what you need to do, this is the sequence, and this for each and every step. So of course digital comes probably between level three, four, five, not level one, two. So if you're level one, follow the roadmap to go to maturity level two before you jump and spend millions of dollars. I don't see many clients wanting to jump from one to five and just say, even if it's big transformation, there's usually a sequence to it. So I would, benchmark myself, see what maturity level I'm at. And then it's, quite straightforward to say, those are the steps you need to take to go from level two to level three.
Very, very good point. Actually, yeah, it's also a good question, because there is a lot of hype about all the words that and the trends that we've talked about, but there is also the reality. Don't break your neck. Don't try to do too many things at the same time.
Yeah, and in the region, back to developing markets, if you take the example of warehouse, I've seen warehouse where, having a reliable supply of electricity is a challenge. So you fix that before you put sensors, everywhere. Because if you don't have electricity on a regular basis, it's going to be hard.
Problematic.
It's going to be problematic. So doing the basics and then, upgrading through the maturity curve is... And consultant there to help you do this. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do for a living. So
yeah. And, you can help people save money because they don't have to make the mistake, which can be prevented. And since you did mention that the first fundamental is about people, and that's our business as well at Morgan Phillips, it's finding the right people. There are some questions that I wanted to ask you in terms of talent and supply chain talent. And the first one is, what's your thoughts in general about talent and supply chain talent development in Asia? And is there enough supply chain talent in the region?
So the obvious answer is no, there's not enough talent. And, we always struggle to find them. Of course, it varies market by market, but there's not enough in China, there's not enough in Indonesia. Singapore, because of its educational system, attractiveness, etc., as good supply chain professional. But as you move, outside to the rest of Asia, it becomes a challenge. I don't know if it's because it's not attractive as a field of study or field of development for professionals. Or because the demand is just so high, due to the growth of the past 10, 15 years. But we need to make an effort. We need to, you know, train more people in the world of supply chain planning, logistics. There's demand out there, but those professionals need to be more and more, you know, sophisticated, educated. I mean, the pace of change is so fast that, you know, something that would have been learned 5 years ago as, you know, being the gold standard is no longer relevant. So I think what's key is, you know, lifelong learning and continuous training. You know, even with 25 years of experience behind me, I'm still spending, you know, endless hours, you know, upgrading myself, updating myself, reading, you know, following online courses, because, you know, we talked about blockchain a year ago. I did not know what it was. And you cannot just go in front of client and just, you know, put out buzzword. You have to understand the basic concept of what you're doing in the technology. So
yeah,
not enough talent. The talent we have, we need to constantly, you know, educate. Upgrade, I don't really like the word. It sounds like, you know, you're removing a chip and putting a new one.
Yeah.
Or upgrading the software. But it's, yeah, it's continuous learning and continuous training and staying on top of things.
Got it. And actually, that kind of leads us to the next question, which is from Ricardo Daza. Thank you, Ricardo. He asked, what skills, I think it can be hard and soft, should logistics and supply chain professionals be focused on in order to remain relevant in the future and for the long run?
So on the hard skill, I would say, you know, understanding analytics is very important. Of course, being, you know, computer proficient and understanding the, you know, big computer technology. If you are an SAP expert or Oracle expert or JD expert, these are, you know, huge value in the marketplace. If you can implement a transportation management system, a WMS system, and integrated business planning system, you'll have, you know, great value. So those are very in-demand skills. On the soft side, I would say we've been in the supply chain, we've been a little bit like engineers, you know, technically very competent, but not always very good at explaining what we do. And so I would encourage everybody to, you know, work on their communication skills and presentation skill. You have to, you know, convince people to make those change. And so the charisma that you have and the power of persuasion that you have is very critical.
Yeah.
So work on your hard skill, but make sure your soft skill, people skill, communication skills are good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the question, since we have to address millennials at some point, of course, when it comes to talent. Question from Yasir. He's asking, is the industry ready for millennials and what changes big structured companies need to make to embrace millennials? Okay, it's a bit of a loaded question, but I think the point is, yeah, it's about...
Of course, the companies are ready for millennials. You know, we have them working with us today. They're very computer savvy. They are cell phone savvy, mobile technology. They understand. So it's a great asset to have on board. A lot of these new companies, you know, when it comes to e-commerce or, you know, service industry, have embraced millennials and brought them into the workforce. Some more traditional companies here in the region are going to have to change and be more flexible. But I think the, you know, the global multinationals have taken the challenge and, you know, integrated them quite nicely. Of course, here at EY, we hire thousands and thousands every year and they have successful careers. When it comes to supply chain, I think, you know, this mastery of technology, this familiarity with, you know, electronic payment, buying online, doing everything mobile from anywhere, anytime, is a great asset because supply chain need to be able to do this. You know, it's a 24/7 economy. It can happen anywhere, and they understand that. So great assets to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, back to you, Didier. And I mean, you've had a long-standing career, by most people's standards, very successful career. So if you're to think back and reflect on that, what is the best piece of advice that you've received, or what's the best pieces of advice that you received that you could share with somebody that's maybe young and just starting?
I remember maybe 20 years ago, one of my executive I was working for just told me this single sentence. He said, always take the high road. Meaning, you know, when something is in conflict or when something is not working, don't let yourself, you know, drain into that or, you know, fighting it. Just, you know, take a step back, look at the broader picture and take the high road. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do. You know, the career has not been linear. There's been a few setbacks and rebounds. But you learn from that, you know. And I think it's how you grow. It's how you develop personally. I've had the chance of working in 3 continents for extended period of time. So I've worked, you know, 10 years in Europe, 12, 15 years in the U.S., and now almost 10 years in Asia. And I think that provides you with the great perspective, you know. I think if people want to have international careers, they're very fulfilling, but they need to be willing to, you know, travel the globe and have different experience in different areas. But that's what I've personally, you know, enjoyed the most, is having worked on 3 different continents, 3 or 4 different, very different cultures. You know, U.S., California, then I moved to Korea, totally different.
Absolutely.
So those are the chance you have in life, and you know, I encourage people to try. The world is still full of opportunity for professionals. Yes, everybody talks about the scarcity of work in the future, the fact that artificial intelligence is all going to do our jobs, but I still see that as, you know, still a faraway prospect in terms of replacing some of the human creativity. I think logistic professionals, supply chain professionals are still going to be needed for the next 20, 25 years. After that,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely. And yeah, everybody talks about AI, but let's again, let's...
And I may be wrong. You know, maybe an AI machine will do my job much better than I could ever do it, you know, within a couple of years, and that would be fine. But there's still a lot of challenge. There's, you know, back to technology, some that are overhyped and that may not come to fruition right away. You know, right now I've been reading very interesting stuff about self-driving car. Everybody say that, you know, we're all going to have one within 5 to 10 years. The problem is that there's still a lot of unresolved issue. But this is probably the subject of another conversation. But quite interesting and quite challenging. So.
Yeah. And I mean, just to add my 2 cents into that, because I think it is relevant once we didn't have it on the agenda. But there's also deep social implications. There's deep policy implications. There's so it's not no matter how enthusiastic some people are about it, it's not something you can implement in a snap, and it will take years.
Yeah.
It will take years. Great. So coming back to another personal piece of coming back to the advice, but let's say that there's a 23-year-old graduating university today wanting to pursue a career in supply chain. What would be one thing that you would tell him?
Get as much experience as you can from, you know, various industry. Don't stay in one single industry. You know, I haven't followed my own advice. I stayed, you know, 17 years with the same employer at HP, but in different types of job. But I would say, you know, try to get as much international experience and different industry sectors. Some of the concepts are actually the same, and some of the logic of, you know, proper supply chain management apply across industry, but there's some industry specific and you know, techniques and buzzword or language that you need to know from each and every industry. If you can, try to do, you know, both consulting and what we say real world job, and those are, you know, great career builders. They provide, you know, expertise and eventually some gray hair that then people rely upon, because then you can provide advice based on the experience you've had over the years. So it's still a fascinating field. You know, maybe it's not as sexy as some other areas available to a 23-year-old now, but I think there's still great opportunity. great opportunity. The world is changing very fast, and it's changing in the world of logistics, supply chain, manufacturing, things that are possible now that would have not been possible, you know, a few years. And there's going to be a full upgrade cycle in all these companies, upgrading, you know, computer system, upgrading, you know, software, hardware, automating the manufacturing line, automating transportation, warehousing. It's got lots of new technology coming. You know, fully lights out warehouse is a possibility. Lights out planning is a possibility. And so, you know, people have to create all this, and it provides great opportunity for new graduate.
Yeah, definitely exciting times ahead, and lots to do. Another question is, can you share an internet or online supply chain resource, like a website or online course or something that would be relevant to our listeners, somewhere they could go and learn?
I actually use, I have an iPhone, and I use News, the application News, and it allows you to select topics. And so I've put, you know, 5G, I've put IoT, I've put SAP, and it gathers all the information from the web around that specific topic. And so I find that quite useful. Rather than going to a, you know, logistic or supply chain specific website, I selected topics of interest, and I've got about 20. And this application will, you know, aggregate all the news relevant to that. So I find that quite useful. I've stayed away a little bit, to be honest, from all these conferences that are popping up everywhere and that I think very often are just redundant or don't provide a lot of value. So, and then, you know, it's just general knowledge about business that's important, because you start with a business problem and then you can see what's the implication for supply chain and how to solve it. So I read The Economist and, you know, and Business Week avidly, yeah, because it just opens up your mind to something that's not just, you know, how do you optimize transportation or how do you optimize planning, but it's broader.
So. Yeah, back to the bigger picture, back to the high road. And very good sharing. I didn't know about the News application. I'm going to download it myself.
I think you have to be registered as a U.S. user. Some countries it doesn't work, but if you set your region to USA...
There's ways.
There's ways.
We are in Singapore, there's ways. One other question. What is a personal habit of yours, Didier, that you think contributes to your success?
Wow. A glass of French red wine every day to keep a proper life balance. I love to travel. And, you know, I get steam off by, you know, jumping on a bus or a plane and going to visit this incredible region that's Southeast Asia. I think among all the people I know here in Singapore, I'm probably the one who's done the most personal miles going to visit Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Burma. So this is a great region. This is why I love to live in Singapore, because we are so close to so many different incredible culture. So that's how I take some rest.
Yeah, super. And final question, is there a specific memorable story in your career around solving a supply chain challenge that you could share with us?
I do remember those were back in my HP days. And you know, in the US you can buy something, so a computer or a printer, and you have about 4 weeks or 5 weeks or a month to return it. And I do remember one time we received a memo from the third-party repair supplier that we were using to repair our PCs. And it was, thank you for sending us back the PC, but there were bricks in the box. And so unfortunately we had credited the customer, and it turns out the PC had been returned not in the box, but bricks placed inside the box, and had been moved from Sacramento all the way back to Nashville, where we had our repair center. We had credited back the customer, then we had spent a few hundred dollars, you know, shipping the product around, And then we were about to spend a few more $100 repairing it when we found that it was bricks. So I think I still have the memo from framed in my house of the memo from the third-party provider. But joke aside, you know, reverse logistics is an area we did not talk about. The rise of e-commerce creates lots of reverse logistics challenge. And so folks that are interested in that area, it's a fascinating area of, you know, how do you return things? What do you repair? What do you not repair? And, you know, all the environmental application that it has as well, you know, recycling. So this whole area of supply chain sustainability, we didn't talk much about today, but it's a fascinating area where people are going to have to spend a lot of time because we have to leave a better planet. We have to make the planet great again.
Yeah. Didier, thank you so much. Thank you very much for your time, for your sharing, for your insights. It's been
a pleasure. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow us on radopalamario.com/podcast for all the show notes and links and extra tips covered in the interview. Also, make sure to subscribe to our emailing list to get the news in the nick of time. I am most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me to stay tuned for our latest podcasts and articles. And make sure not to miss our next episode as we are talking with the CEO of one of the most prominent e-commerce logistics companies in the world. Stay tuned.